In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Well, today is Trinity Sunday, the day that we celebrate one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And because of the complexity of this doctrine, it's been said that more heresy has been preached on Trinity Sunday than any other day of the year. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it does point to the confusion surrounding the great mystery of the Trinity. There's an old joke about Jesus and his disciples. One day, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And his disciples responded, "Well, some say you are John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say you are one of the prophets." And Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter boldly responded, "You are the Word made flesh. You are fully human and fully divine. You are God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made." To which Jesus stopped Peter and said, "Hold on, you lost me." There's no doubt that the doctrine of the Trinity is mind-boggling, isn't it? I'm sure we've all heard different analogies to help break it down and explain it, such as the Trinity is like water and how you can find it in three different forms, in solid, in liquid, or in vapor. Or the Trinity is like a man who is simultaneously a father, a husband, and a son. Or the Trinity is like a three-leaf clover. Or it's like an egg with the white and the yolk and the shell. Or one of my favorites, the Trinity is like three-in-one shampoo. The problem with these analogies is that they're all some form of ancient heresy that was eventually condemned by the church, because they either claim that God is not three distinct persons, but merely reveals himself in three different forms, or they suggest that the Trinity makes up different parts of God, each comprising a third of the divine. The Episcopal theologian and priest Robert Capon once said that when human beings try to describe God, we are like a bunch of oysters trying to describe a ballerina. In other words, no matter how hard we try, we just can't seem to wrap our minds around it. And our human language always falls short when it comes to describing the fullness of God. As we know, talking about the Trinity only gets us so far. The Trinitarian debates of the 4th century, which eventually led to the creation of the Nicene Creed, are of course foundational for our understanding of the faith, and we say the Creed every Sunday. But talking about the Trinity is completely different from experiencing the Trinity. The Trinity is not just a dull and boring doctrine. It's the fullest expression of who God is. Throughout Holy Scripture, God is described as a creator, intimately involved with his creation, as a redeemer who came into the world to save us, and as a sanctifier who breathes holiness into every part of our lives. And this isn't just theoretical. This is life-giving truth. The fullest expression of God isn't found in some complex theological argument. It isn't found in the perfect metaphor or analogy. The fullest expression of God is simply this: God is love. A point that John's gospel goes on to make over and over again: God is, above all else, love. And that's really what the Trinity is all about, isn't it? After all, how do we experience love? How do we know what love looks like? How do we know what love feels like? The reality is we only know love through our experience of being loved and loving others. We only know love through community and interactions with others. And the Trinity is exactly this. It's the perfect community of self-giving love. As we hear in today's gospel lesson, and really throughout the Gospels, each member of the Trinity is constantly pointing to and glorifying the other. In today's text, Jesus says, "He will glorify me, the Spirit will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you." A few chapters earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing." Instead, he submitted to the Spirit who drove him into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he told the Father during his climactic struggle in the garden, "Not my will be done, but yours." In the same way, God the Father points to Jesus at his baptism and again at his transfiguration, saying, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." In other words, the Trinity is the perfect community of self-giving love. And the Trinity reminds us that we too were created to point to others, to build each other up, to love each other. Several years ago, a story appeared in the news about a Franciscan nun named Sister Helen Morosia. Sister Helen had taught school for years, and among the many students she taught, she remembered a very polite, handsome, and mischievous eighth grader named Mark Eklund. One difficult Friday, Mark and his classmates became frustrated and restless with their schoolwork, so Sister Helen told them to stop, to put their work away, and to take out a fresh sheet of paper and make a list of their classmates' names. And then next to each one of those names, she asked them to write the nicest thing they could think of about each person. Sister Helen then collected the papers, and over the weekend, she wrote the name of each student on a new sheet of paper, and directly under that name, she listed all of the wonderful things their classmates had written about them. The following Monday, when she passed out the papers to the class, there were a few smiles and chuckles, but nobody mentioned the list again. Several years later, that polite and mischievous eighth grader named Mark grew up, enlisted in the service, and was killed in combat. Mark's parents invited Sister Helen to attend the funeral. After the service, as she was talking with some of Mark's family and friends, Mark's father said to her, "We want to show you something." And he carefully removed a worn piece of paper from his wallet and said, "They found this on Mark when he died, and we thought you might recognize it." The old piece of paper had been folded and refolded many times. And Sister Helen knew right away what it was. It was that same piece of paper that contained all the good things Mark's classmates had written about him many years ago. Mark's mother thanked Sister Helen for doing it. As you can see, Mark treasured it. Then some of Mark's friends gathered around. "I still have my list," one of them said. "It's in the top drawer of my desk at home." Another classmate reached into her pocketbook and showed her worn and frazzled list to the group. "I carry this with me at all times. I think we all saved our list, Sister Helen." Is there anything more powerful than knowing that we are loved? God has a special sheet of paper with each of our names on it. And the list of just how much he loves us goes on and on forever. The Trinity is not some remote model for us. It's not something we hold up and strive for. Instead, the Trinity's love is to be shared. And in a very personal and unique way, we are the objects of this Trinitarian love. God doesn't just love us in some abstract way. God loves us so much that he didn't wait for us to clean up our acts and to get our lives together before he chose us. God came to us in the person of Jesus and willingly laid down his life for us. And that's really the miracle of the Holy Trinity. It exists to share God's love with you, with me, and with all the broken people of this world. So today, may we remember that Trinity Sunday is not about dissecting or defending doctrinal arguments. Today is a day for us to celebrate God's unconditional love and grace for us. Today is a day to rejoice in the ways we experience the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And today, with God's grace, may we become the people we were created to be by sharing this amazing gift of love with others. Amen.